Good morning.
And
what a joy it is to be here with all of you. First, I want to apologize for my voice. We live in Alabama, and I truly believe that the weather down here likes to play tricks on the trees and the bushes. It warms up for a second, and one azalea bush says, "Oh, it's spring, I'll bloom and dump all of my pollen." And then it gets cold again, and the other bushes laugh and say, "Ah, you were too early." Then it warms up again, and another azalea bush or a tree blooms. And we have like 25 springs that happen between January and actual spring. And so that's what I got going on, is a lot of sinus stuff. But I appreciate the opportunity to be able to be with y'all this morning and speak. The first thing I want to do is pray. That song by Kate was awesome, and it speaks to something we need to just soak in, and we just need to trust God no matter what's going on, right? So let's just take a second, bow our heads, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is a crazy world, and there's so much stuff that goes on that just stabs us in the heart with worry and fear and doubt and the unknown. And Lord, there's a lot of times we cry out and say, "Lord, we want to know you're here. We want to know you're working and moving." And Lord, we just need to be reminded sometimes that all you ask us to do is trust you and have faith in you, that you're always present, always moving, always working, even when we can't see it because of all of the distractions. So Lord, we just trust you. We trust you anyway, no matter what's going on in our lives. And we just say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So today, I wanted to talk about something different because I feel like I've been on a theme here lately. And I started looking for a passage that would be different and would kind of take me off of my theme. But I found a passage that fits right squarely in it, so we're going to stay on this theme. And the theme is, the last time I preached, we talked about living a sins-forgiven life, a life not defined by sin, but a life defined by forgiveness, that we get to follow Jesus and live in the kingdom of God here and now. And I found this passage in Colossians 2 that really speaks to me about living present with Jesus in our world today. So I want to start in Colossians 2, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 15. I'm reading out of the Message version, if you're not familiar with that. It's a little bit different. I really like this version on this passage, but I like a lot of different versions. I read all kind of different versions, translations, but this one spoke to me. So I want you to just listen to it. It's like a story, and then we'll go from there. "I want you to realize that I continue to work as hard as I know how for you, and also for the Christians over at Laodicea. Not many of you have met me face to face, but that doesn't make any difference. Know that I am on your side, right alongside you. You are not in this alone. I want you woven into a tapestry of love, in touch with everything there is to know of God. Then you will have minds confident and at rest, focused on Christ, God's great mystery. All the richest treasures of wisdom and knowledge are embedded in that mystery and nowhere else. And we've been shown the mystery. I'm telling you this because I don't want anyone leading you off on some wild goose chase after other so-called mysteries or the secret. I'm a long way off, true, and you may never lay eyes on me, but believe me, I am on your side, right beside you. I am delighted to hear of the careful and orderly ways you conduct your affairs, and I'm impressed with the solid substance of your faith in Christ. My counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. You received Christ Jesus, the Master. Now love him. live him. You're deeply rooted in him. You're well constructed upon him. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. School's out. Quit studying the subject and start living it. And let your living spill over into thanksgiving. Watch out for people who try to dazzle you with big words and intellectual double talk. They want to drag you off into endless arguments that never amount to anything. They spread their ideas through the empty traditions of human beings and the empty superstitions of spirit beings. But that's not the way of Christ. Everything of God gets expressed in him so you can see and hear him clearly. You don't need a telescope, a microscope, or a horoscope to realize that the fullness of Christ and the emptiness of the universe without him. When you come to him, that fullness comes together for you too. His power extends over everything. Entering into this fullness is not something you have to figure out or achieve. It's not a matter of being circumcised or keeping a long list of laws. No, you're already in, insiders. Not through some secret initiation rite, but rather through what Christ has already gone through for you, destroying the power of sin. If you need an initiation rite, if that's what you're after, you've already been through it by submitting to baptism. Going under the water was a burial of your old life. Coming up out of it was a resurrection, God raising you from the dead just as he did Christ. When you were stuck in your old sin-dead life, you were incapable of responding to God. God brought you alive right along with Christ. Think of it. All sins forgiven. The slate wiped clean. The old arrest warrant canceled and nailed to Christ's cross. He stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross and marched them naked through the streets. This is the word of God. It's true. It can be trusted. There's really two parts to this scripture that really spoke to me. The first one is Paul's like little introduction to what he's going to teach about. And Paul is in jail. He's off away from the Colossians. And the first thing he really wants them to hear is, I am for you. I know I'm not with you. I haven't met some of you. I know that we may never meet. But I want you to hear this. I am for you. I support you. I will walk alongside you. I will pray for you. I want to encourage you. How often do we do that for each other? Do you call your friends up and say, hey man, I want you to know I'm for you. I want you to know I support you. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with, I'm here with you. I'm going to be praying for you. I want you to know I am here for you. I don't think we do that enough in the church. I think we come together on Sunday mornings and we do that. When we're here in this room, look, I did the count this morning. When the kids came in here, we had 81 people. It's one of our largest services. This is it, in this room. It's amazing. And on Sunday mornings, we're all here together and it's great. But as soon as church is over and we split up and we go to lunch and we go back to our lives, how often do we keep in touch with each other and say, hey man, how you doing? Everything all right? I just want you to know I'm here for you. I want to support you. I want to make sure you know you're not walking this road alone. I want you to know that you've got somebody with you. I think that is one of the most important things that Paul did in this. Because without encouragement, we forget that we're not alone. We forget that. If we don't have that encouragement, we get to those places in our lives where we feel left out. We feel like we're struggling with something by ourselves, and we forget that we've got this entire family that God has brought together. And Paul says, I want you to be woven into a tapestry of love. I want you to be woven into a tapestry of love. Now, I'm not fancy, and I don't necessarily know what a tapestry is, but what I think of is one of those rugs, right? Those fancy rugs that you see on TV made over there in the Middle East, and they're giant, and they're intricate, and they've got all these different colors in it, and they've got all these patterns in it. It's not just a blank white rug, right? It's just reds and blacks and blues and yellows and golds and all these different things woven in together. And when you look at them, they're like, I mean, there's no holes. I mean, it is one solid piece. I love that imagery. Because isn't that what we are as the church? A tapestry of different colors, different sizes, different people, and we're supposed to be woven together into this incredible rug that is inseparable, whatever. That's how we're supposed to be, but as soon as church is over, we're like, okay, let's pull the thread and unravel everything and go our separate ways, right? But for an hour, we can be, you know, like a shag rug. We can be connected, but we got our own strands, right? But Paul is saying, I want y'all to be woven into a tapestry of love because everything you need, you have in Christ. You already have it, and you know that. And if you're going to do this, you're going to need each other, and you need to encourage each other. That's who we're supposed to be as a church. That's how we're going to be the family of God. That's how we're going to live into the kingdom of God here and now, is when we begin to be intentional about encouraging each other. And when we do that, then we can tackle the other stuff. Then we can deal with the other stuff. There are Bible studies that we're starting. There's book studies that we're starting. There's small groups. There's Wednesday night activities. We have so much going on. There's so many opportunities for you to build relationships with people at this church and people outside this church. Build relationships with people in the community. Be an encourager for somebody that's never known what encouragement feels like. That's how we're going to build this tapestry of love. That's how we're going to begin to see the kingdom of God here and now in Foley, Alabama. That's the first thing I really loved about this scripture. And then there's the second part of the scripture that really spoke to me. And this is really what I said I just couldn't change the theme on. And what's funny is we had some friends over last night, so we actually had one of Malachi's good friends. His parents came over, and it was the first time that us parents had gotten to get together and get to know each other. And his friend's parents, the dad is a Baptist preacher. And the mama's a teacher, and me and Jenny got to hang out with them, right? And we had a great time. I mean, I worked all day at the seafood festival, and my other job is a police officer in Orange Beach. I didn't get home. I got at work at 6, didn't get home till like 4:35, whatever, doesn't matter. But I was tired. But I was like, okay, he's a Baptist preacher. He's going to leave early, so it's going to be great, right? Thought I was going to get to go to bed early, right? Well, we started talking. And next thing I know, his wife is like, hey, we got to go because both y'all have to preach in the morning. And I was like, okay, yeah, it's 8 o'clock, it's fine. I turned around, looked at the clock, it's 10:30. And I was like, ah, what happened? You know? But we had this great conversation. He and I just talked about a bunch of stuff. And one of the things that we both talked about and we both said for probably the first time ever, but we just laughed and said, man, that's so true. One of the things that came out of this conversation we had is that we both firmly believe that the church has screwed us up. And I'm not just talking about me and him. I'm talking about all of us, right? I think the church has really screwed us up. You know why? Because we've been trying to do so good. We've been trying to teach everyone how to be so good. We've been trying to teach everyone how to live right and act right and love right. And we've been trying to teach people how to do this life that Jesus invites us to, right? That's what the church does, right? How many people have learned that in the church? Yeah? Y'all can raise your hands. I can see shadows. We're gonna interact here. Look, I'm trying to, I stayed up till 10:30 last night, so I need some energy. But I really believe that's the problem with the church, is we have spent our entire lives in the church learning how to do things right, what's wrong, how to act, how to talk, how to be, what Jesus said, what Jesus tells us to do. That's what we've spent our entire life at the church doing. You know, I went to the police academy a long time ago. And I loved it. And I learned a lot of stuff. I learned laws, and I learned fighting with people, and I learned how to handcuff somebody, search somebody, how to do high-speed pursuits and DUI takedowns, felony takedowns, shooting. I mean, all kind of just awesome stuff, right?
How to eat donuts?
I did not get a bed and a kitchen like a fireman. We have to eat on the run. We work for a living. But yes, donuts. I learned a bunch of stuff in the academy. And I mean, it was great. I loved it. But you know what happened when I graduated the academy and I got back to Orange Beach and the police chief gave me my badge and my gun and a car and he said, okay, go to work. You know what happened? I didn't know what to do. I had no idea what I was doing. I had all this knowledge. I knew what the police academy had taught me, but I had no idea how to put it into action. I had to learn how all that stuff translated into how to be. I knew it in my head, but how do I put that into action? How do I begin to become a police officer? I think that's the same problem with the church. All of us in this room, we have this knowledge on what it means to be a Christian and how what it means to love like Jesus and live like Jesus and think like Jesus. And we know what it means to act like Jesus, but how do we do that? What does that mean for our everyday lives? How do we put that into action? We want the church to tell us. We want to learn more about it. But when it comes to it, what does Paul say? You know your way around the faith. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. School's out. Quit studying the subject and start living it. Let your living spill out into thanksgiving. How do we begin to do it? Well, we begin to encourage each other to get out of the seat that we're sitting in and to begin living the way we know we're supposed to begin living life in this sins forgiven life, in this slate washed clean, arrest warrant canceled. All sins are already forgiven. We can't be so defined by what we've learned that we aren't able to take that knowledge out into the real world because we're afraid we're going to mess it up. We're going to make a mistake. We're going to do something wrong. We're going to say something wrong. We're going to act the wrong way. Yes, I'm telling you right now, you are. You're going to. And you know what? That's okay. Jesus doesn't care. You know what Jesus cares about? That you begin to take all of this stuff that you already know and you begin to live it. And it's our job as the church to encourage each other to do just that, to say, hey, it's okay. It's okay. I know you made a mistake. I know you feel bad that you said a cuss word. Hey, I've been a police officer for 25 years. if you're around me long enough, you're going to hear a cuss word, okay? And you're going to say, I thought you were a preacher. And I'm going to say, yeah, whoops, I am. But you know what? I'm still a person. I'm still me. And the best way I've learned how to be a preacher and to be able to connect with people is to be just that, to be me, to be broken, to be dirty, to be messy, to say a cuss word, to drink a beer, to sit down with somebody and meet them where they're at and say, you know what? I just want to live all of this stuff I know in my head. I just want to be able to put it into practice and begin to live it and see where that takes us and to see what kind of relationship comes out of this. Because you know what? That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. He said, just come follow me. Walk alongside me. Let's go do life together. Let's go see the broken people. Let's go see what's going on in the world around us. Let's find what we find and just be present with it. The church for years, the church you've grown up in has said, we got to do everything perfect and right, and here's what's right and what's wrong. Paul says, forget about the law. Quit worrying about the law. Just go live your life. Just go live your life. Be you and be with people and love people. Begin to work on becoming this tapestry of love and encourage each other and build each other up. And let's see what happens then, because that's when we see Jesus. You already know Jesus. Jesus already died for you. You've already been buried and been brought back to life. Your sins are already forgiven. It's okay. Life is okay. Life is hard. Life sucks. Life is broken and messy. And there's going to be a lot of stuff that happens all throughout it. And all of that is okay. It's okay. Because we're not asked to do it alone. We're asked to follow him and walk with him and deal with the pains and the hurts and the losses and the joys and the tears and the laughter and whatever comes out. That's how we begin to quit worrying about trying to do it right and just do it. I didn't wear any Nikes today, but just do it. Just love and live. And be present with people and quit worrying about trying to say the right thing. Just say something and listen and encourage and build up and know that Christ is in you already. Christ is already in you. There's nothing you have to earn. There's no achievement that you have to reach to. We don't have levels. I'm watching a show about one of Dan Brown's books. Does anybody know Dan Brown? You know, it's kind of National Treasure stuff. You know, everything has a secret symbol, and they talk a lot about the Masons, and you got the first all the way to like the 33rd level. We don't have that. We don't have that. There's no levels here in church, right? You either love Jesus and know Jesus, or you're here seeking Jesus, right? That's really it. And if you're here seeking Jesus, I got news for you. He's already in you. And if you're here loving Jesus and knowing Jesus, I got news for you. He's already in you. You're already an insider. You're already in the group. You belong. And you're a part of the tapestry. And we want you here, and we want you to begin to live this life in a way that changes everything around you. It changes your world because you begin to understand that, hey, you're already loved. You're already forgiven. You already belong. There's nothing you need to figure out or achieve. It's not a matter of being circumcised or keeping a long list of laws. You're already in. You're already an insider. You belong. Now go and love. Go and live. Go and be Christ. Because Christ is in you, and Christ will show through you when you live your life and you just be. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I've gone to church most of my life. I've heard everything I'm supposed to do, what's right and what's wrong, what I'm supposed to say, what I'm supposed to think, what I'm supposed to pray, how I'm supposed to pray. I've heard all kinds of things. But what I haven't heard, Lord, is that I just need to get out and live it. And that it's already taken care of. You're already buried so deep inside of me, I can't lose you. And I can't be lost to you. So, Lord, help us. Help us to begin to live all of this stuff we already know. Help us to begin to build this tapestry of love that's so tightly woven it can't be separated. Help us to be encouragers of one another, of each other. Help us not to be afraid to say, I need some encouragement. Help us to not be afraid to call somebody that pops across our mind to say, hey, I just wanted to call and let you know you're not alone. I don't know what you're going through, but I wanted to just say, hey, I'm with you. Lord, help us to understand that we're already on the inside. You dwell so brightly inside of each and every one of your children that there's nothing we have to do but let you be in the midst of wherever we're at, to just be who you made us to be and to love each other and to say, hey, I'm here. This is me. All my goodness, all my badness, all my brokenness, this is me. And Jesus loves me, and I know he loves you. Lord, help us to be real. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor John, I love all this Jesus talk. Y'all, let's please stand. And in closing, we're going to close with the last part